A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yevamos Mem Vav. Yevamos 46a. Pagination is 91. We have a story here midway on the page. The first words on the line are Deyahiv Karga, and then we begin. Regarding Reb Chiya Bar Abba, who came to a town, Gavla, and he saw three practices of this city and reported them to Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Yechanan said that this city was in violation on all three accounts. Chaza b'nos Yisrael de ma'avra migerim shemalu v'lo tavlu. He saw that Jewish girls had become pregnant, they had married converts to Judaism, who had only done Mila, the circumcision, but they had not yet gone to mikvah. And we know that for a woman, all you have to do is mikvah. But for a man, you have to do the Mila, the circumcision, and also the tevila. They were not doing the tevila, the immersing in the mikvah. That's number one. V'chaza chamra d'Yisrael d'mizgi ovdei kechavim v'shasu Yisrael. And he also saw that the non-Jews were mixing or pouring the drinks, wine, of the Jews, and the Jews were drinking. So they were not touching the wine, which is the strict prohibition of maga akum, touching the wine, but they were pouring or mixing it. They were influencing it. It was coming mikocham, from their strength. V'chaza turmusin deshalki ovde kochavim va'achli Yisrael. And he also saw that the non-Jews were cooking the turnips and the Jews were eating them. V'lo omaluhu v'lo midi. And he didn't say anything. Also l'kamedi Rabbi Yechanan, and he came to Rabbi Yechanan and asked him, what's the halacha about these three things? Amalei told him, Tzei v'achreiz al b'neim shehim mamzerim. Go announce that the children of that town are mamzerim, are illegitimate. We'll have to develop this in a moment. Va'al yeinu mishum yayin nesach. And regarding their wine, that it's yayin nesach, that it's prohibited, their practice is unacceptable. And go also announce that their turnips are forbidden because it's an item cooked by the non-Jew. And he added, because they're not knowledgeable. And you have to cut right over here and tell them it's forbidden, because if it goes further, they'll never understand what's permitted and what's forbidden. So the first case needs a bit of attention, because his ruling was that they would be mamzerim, and the Gemara explains that that's according to the opinion that a person who's not a proper convert and lives with a Jewish woman produces a mamzer. We do not paskin like that. We saw this in the last session. We paskin that the child is pogum l'kahuna. There's an element of stigma which has to do with whether the child will or will not be allowed to marry a kohen. But beyond that, the child is totally legitimate, and this ruling is only lishitaso, according to his opinion. What we'll take out of the opinion is that indeed a male convert requires both circumcision and immersing in mikvah. Let's focus on the other two cases, which are gateways to very big topics regarding food touched or cooked by a non-Jew. So we know that in the kashrus setting, particularly in restaurants, which is really where we see it, where the chef or the owner might be non-Jewish. So we're very careful to have a Jew, usually it's the mashgiach, to light the fires, because we have a requirement that a Jew significantly influence the cooking process, because there's a legislation, rabbinically, not to eat food that was cooked by a non-Jew. This was one of the separations, one of the legislations of distancing to avoid intermarriage. And once a Jew influences significantly, according to whatever the protocols are, but he influences the cooking process significantly, then it becomes permitted. But otherwise, if the non-Jew would do it on his own, even on our location, but he does the cooking exclusively on his own, that's included in this legislation. It's Bishul Akum, it's cooked by a non-Jew, and it's forbidden. The other case that we're dealing with is unique to wine, that if it's touched by a non-Jew, it also becomes non-kosher. And this also has to do with avoiding intermarriage and the social grace that comes from this is something that's restricted unless you use one of the workarounds. One of the workarounds is that Bishul, if the wine was cooked, so then it's not considered as prestigious and the legislation doesn't include that. There are sophisticated considerations, but let's just get the gateway. Let's get in the door on these topics. So the Gemara tells us, Al yena mishum yayin nesach, on their wine, it's forbidden. So in this case, they were mixing or pouring the wine. So he says, mishum lech lech amrina nazira sechar sechar lekama lo sikrav. We tell a nazir, a person who made a vow to prohibit himself in grape products, we tell him not even to walk through the vineyard because we're worried that he's going to take a taste, which is an expression used to comment on distancing oneself from a prohibition. So that in this case, even though the non-Jew didn't actually touch the wine, he only poured the wine, nevertheless, Rabbi Yechanan ruled that it's going to be forbidden. And finally, v'altar musa mishum bishuli of the kochavim. Why were the turnips bishul akum cooked by a non-Jew? But he said lefi she'inan b'nei Torah, but only because they're not knowledgeable enough to appreciate nuance. That's why I'm forbidding it. The inference is that really these turnips might not be forbidden. Ha'b'nei Torah shari. Had they been knowledgeable in Torah, we would have allowed it. V'omar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Meshmei de Rav. Didn't Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak say in the name of Rav, Kol anecho kamo shehu chai ein bo mishum bishulei ovdei kochavim? It's only products that can't be eaten raw that have the laws of Bishul Akum. But if it could be eaten raw, then the fact that the non-Jew cooked it doesn't change anything. It doesn't make it prohibited. So we have certain items that are edible raw. An apple, for example, is edible raw. So if he cooked it and made applesauce, it's not going to prohibit it. It was available even when it was raw. The cooking is not going to impact it negatively. V'hatormus, but this turnip, eino nechal kamo shehu chai. The turnip cannot be eaten when it's raw. V'yesh ba mishum b'shuli yovdei kochavim. And it should therefore be categorized as a straightaway item that the non-Jew can't cook it and still consider it kosher. Why did Rabbi Yechanan phrase it that it's only because they're not knowledgeable in Torah that I'm forbidding it? It's an item that can't be eaten raw, and the non-Jew cooked it, that should be forbidden. Rabbi Yechanan ki'idach lishna sevira lei, there's a second consideration. And this is why he said he's only prohibiting it because they won't appreciate the leniencies of nuance. Because there's another statement, kol she'in ola al shulchan melachim le'echo bo es hapas ein bo bishum bishulei akum. Anything that isn't fit for the royal table, if it's not fit for the royal table, it doesn't have the laws of Bishul Akum. An item that's low grade, that's not so significant, is not included in Bishul Akum. The concept of Bishul Akum is specifically items that are, to some degree, level of prestige. So we have two criteria. One is that it can't be eaten raw. And number one, that after the cooking, it's worthy of, we use today the expression, the presidential table, the royal table. And therefore, these termusim even though they can't be eaten raw and they need that cooking, but they were not a prestigious dish and therefore would not be included in Bishul Akum according to the strict letter of the law. V'taima de'inan b'nei Torah. It was only because he was afraid about this community that they didn't understand nuance. They were hanging on to their Judaism, but if you told them that the turnip was permitted, they would think everything is permitted, and they wouldn't understand that the turnip is unique because it was assessed as not being a royal food. Habanei Torah shari. But had they been more knowledgeable in Torah, he would have actually permitted the turnip according to their local culture norms. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.